We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on an ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection, and the majority of the time, she will choose life. But she can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside her. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Every day, AFA offers biblical insight on issues that others aren't willing to touch in the hopes that you'll become a world changer. That's why we're offering an in-depth worldview training course called Activate. 13 different professors teaching 18 sessions, all available online, including a printed workbook to help you apply what you've learned and one-year access to AFA streaming content to give you even more resources. Find out more about Activate and sign up today at activate.afa.net.
Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
I love talking about the things of God because of truth and the biblical worldview.
The U.S. Constitution obligates our government to preserve and protect the rights that our founders recognize come from God, our Creator, not our government. I believe that Scripture in the Bible is very clear that God is the one that raised up each of you, and God has allowed us to be brought here to this specific moment in time.
This is Jenna Ellis in the Morning.
Good morning. Well, today the world has changed, and it is a very different world than the last time that we spoke together. And this, of course, is because this past weekend on Saturday night, there was an assassination attempt of former President Trump. And I think all of us will not forget where we were at when we either saw that video live, if you were watching the rally there in Pennsylvania, or if you heard about the news. And I know that I'm speaking to a lot of listeners who remember where they were when there was an attempted assassination of President Reagan. And some of you even are old enough, like my parents, to remember the actual assassination of John F. Kennedy. And so this is not, unfortunately, new, even to some generations listening to this program. This just continues to evidence how wicked the heart of man can be when we stray further and further from God's truth. And so for my generation, and I'm an older millennial, and I think a lot of you know that. So I was born in 1984. And so the assassination attempt of Ronald Reagan was a few years before I was born. So for my generation and younger, this is the first time that we are going through something like this, hopefully the last time in America's history, if we're being honest. But there's a lot of different ways that America and each individual is responding, even over the last, 48 hours and the first 48 hours since this event. And I want to talk about all of those. And I think that they're kind of intertwined necessarily, because the reaction that we have to this type of a national and even worldwide event. I mean, I've gotten contacted by the BBC and stations all around the world looking for reaction or watching this, who are praying for America, which we greatly appreciate. But this is a worldwide event. It's not just national. And the responses really can be broken down into three basic categories, which is a personal, spiritual, and then political. And I think a lot of us rush to the political because this was necessarily in a political context. You're talking about a former president, someone who is a current candidate. It was at a political rally. This has implications for the nation. And I want to talk about the political, but we're going to talk about that actually at the end of the show, because I think that the personal and especially the spiritual are even more important. Now, political is built on the spiritual, and as Christians, as Americans and good citizens, as we always talk about on this show, our politics and our philosophy of government, our engagement in civil government, should be derived from and built upon our Christian worldview. And so we necessarily should be looking at the spiritual before we even contemplate the political. And it's been, to me, just not unexpected, frankly, but wildly disappointing to see so many of the reaction. I mean, immediately the left is going to their gun control narrative. Immediately, you know, the right is talking about, you know, how this is going to impact the election. And there's, you know, all of these other sort of, you know, debates that I think are entirely missing the point of the spiritual. And we're going to be talking about that in the next segment with actually one of my pastors from Florida, because yesterday we took a lot of the service, and actually I think the entire service really, to talk about this. But the message, and this is so great how God always does this, that the message was already set up as we're going through this series of questions that people have. And the next question that was just the next in the series is, are we living in the end times? And that is a question spiritually and politically a lot of people are contemplating today. So we did talk about that, but took a large portion of the service simply to pray for the nation, to pray for President Trump and his family, and to pray for revival ultimately. And that's where we should be focused. And that does go back to the personal. And I want to address just in the first few minutes of this segment, the personal. And for me, it's honestly very different than a lot of people who have been, and actually the vast majority of people watching this event, only because I personally know President Trump and his family, and a lot of you know that. I know a lot of people that were at the rally, even including journalists that were in the high rise from, you know, all across the spectrum of left to right media. And so watching this was a lot more personal for me than just, you know, this is a candidate, this is the leader of the Republican Party, leader of the movement, all of that. And I got a few emails from some listeners, by the way, asking me if I would reach out to former President Trump or his family, you know, just encourage him. And I want you to know that I did. This was the first time in a while, honestly, that I've talked to him, and just encouraged him, as Joseph Parker here at AFR always encourages all of us daily to read Psalm 91 and to contemplate as Christians how God sends his angels to protect us and how we can claim the truth of God in our own lives. And whether or not, you know, President Trump actually read those verses, I'm sure he's gotten a lot of encouragement from, hopefully, a lot of Christians in his life. I know Speaker Johnson contacted him. I hope that a number of pastors that are in his life contacted him as well. But I also contacted a couple of members of his family, got to speak with them by text, and just extended, you know, my prayers for their family, because this is something that personally no family should ever have to go through. And I know that former First Lady Melania Trump posted a statement, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but you can go on her social media and read it. And I'm sure a lot of the networks have covered it. But she ended with saying, I commend those of you who have reached out beyond the political divide. Thank you for remembering that every single politician is a man or woman with a loving family. And I think we can't forget that in this moment when we're necessarily talking about the political implications, to remember that this is a man with a family. I mean, I know his kids. I worked for him for several years. He is a family man. He has always been, you know, just very incredibly proud of his family. And this was on the brink of changing his family's life. And for the family of the firefighter in Pennsylvania that was killed at the rally, I mean, my heart just goes out to them, and we need to be praying for them and for everyone who was injured, because this changes lives. And so the personal really matters. And I hope that this event will prompt and encourage President Trump to consider God's protection over his life, and knowing that it is only God that spared him. And I believe for a purpose. And the main purpose of that, while of course he's a national figure, there are implications for the country, the primary purpose that God always has in our lives is so that we can come into a saving knowledge of him and grow in our relationship with Christ. And there's a lot of speculation of whether, you know, Donald Trump is a Christian. And I don't want to get into that speculation. In some of my personal interactions with him, I do believe that he knows God. And I think that he it will say that privately more than he's willing to say that publicly. And it's my personal hope, having had those conversations with him personally and encouraging him even yesterday in the Lord, that he would even more resolutely, as Pastor Jack Hibbs said yesterday in his sermon, and I'm going to play a clip of that in just a moment, that Donald Trump would talk to God and with God, not just about God. And I love the way that Pastor Jack Hibbs phrased that, because while there's a tacit or almost passive acknowledgement of God, the Christian doesn't just acknowledge that God is there and kind of put him in a corner. The Christian lives our life in every moment with God and asking, what does God have for me to do next? And it is my sincere hope that this moment, while it's changed a lot of things in this country and around the world, it's definitely changed the political environment for sure, that the biggest and most obvious change would be an emphasis from Donald Trump as the leader of the Republican Party, as the leader of the party that most conservatives and evangelicals are voting for, quite frankly, to focus and emphasize God first, not just this godless populism MAGA movement that a lot of us have seen that kind of divide. Because if Donald Trump is able to successfully do that, and I think that he can, and I am praying that the Holy Spirit uses this and prompts him to get on his knees and consider his personal relationship with the Lord, because that's the first step. It has to be personal before you can do anything else that's on a more national or public scale. It has to be personal. And just this morning, there's an article in the Washington Examiner saying that President Trump has completely rewritten his convention speech in light of the assassination attempt. And in an interview, this would have been just yesterday, he said that he wants to take advantage of an historic moment and draw the country together. He said this: the speech that I was going to give on Thursday was going to be a humdinger. Had this not happened, this would have been one of the most incredible speeches aimed mostly at the policies of Biden. But honestly, it's going to be a whole different speech now. He has switched, he said, from planning to excite his voter base to one that demonstrates his belief the attack on him at the rally in Pennsylvania had changed the election campaign entirely. And I hope that his emphasis will be on God. And the fact that he said God alone prevented the unthinkable from happening on his Truth Social, I think he is looking toward God. But this is what Pastor Jack Hibbs had to say. This is cut one.
When I saw that bloodied face in that ear, this is a strange connection, I know, but God said, all those who represent me in the priesthood, there's to be a sacrificial basin of blood. And I want the toe of the priest to be dipped in the blood, the big toe, the right toe, dipped in blood. I want the priest's thumb dipped in blood, because his feet and his decision making is covered in my blood. And then take the blood from the basin and put it on your right ear. Mr. President, if you're watching this right now, your right ear was bloodied. It wasn't your eye that got shot. It wasn't your nose that got shot. It wasn't your temple that was intended to be shot. Your ear was hit. But we would like and pledge and pray that you might bow your knee before the Lord Almighty and say, not only did God do this, because I know, Mr. President, you said that today, that God protected me. But who is God, Mr. President? Who is he? What's his name? You've heard it for years. It's time to bow the knee. It's time to say that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's the one that rules over the affairs of men. He loves and died on the cross and rose again from the grave. It is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he desires that all men should come to worship him in spirit and in truth. This has been a warning by Almighty God that your ear might be sanctified. Will you hear this? Can you hear this? Listen to the word of God. Stop talking about God and come to know God. It makes all the difference in the world.
That was Pastor Jack Hibbs, and I would encourage all of you to listen to his message from yesterday. I went back and listened to it last night, and he's absolutely right. That, more than anything else, we need to be praying for that, for President Trump, for his family on the personal level. And I know that a lot of you have told me that, you know, you're talking too much about, you know, his policies and you don't support him anymore and all, you know, all this and that. And I just want all of you to know, I mean, this really personally affected me because, I mean, I've known this man personally for years now and his family. And I do have a lot of love and respect for them. And so it was very difficult. So I appreciate your prayers for all of them. And we can disagree on politics, and we should when they're wrong, because I serve and am loyal to Jesus Christ well over anyone else. Any politician, any former boss, any even current boss. I mean, and Tim Wildman wouldn't have it any other way. but ultimately, this matters, and we need to be praying for him. So we'll be right back with more. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there is an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 will underwrite ultrasounds for an entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and we are still talking about how the world has changed in the aftermath of the assassination attempt of former President Trump on Saturday evening, and kind of breaking this down in our three segments we have today into the responses from Christians and those of us who care about this country into kind of a personal response, a spiritual response, and political response. And so I want to focus on this segment on the spiritual response. And so whether or not you are a Trump supporter, whether or not you have engaged in politics previously, I imagine if you're listening to American Family Radio Network, you have, and you are a good citizen and want to use your vote effectively to promote the things of Christ in our civil society. That's our definition of politics, is truth in community. And we need to focus, though, not just on the political outcome and Republican versus Democrat and all of those things, but take a moment to consider the spiritual impact on our country. And my church yesterday, a family church in Florida, took a moment to pray for our country and really consider what the Christian's response should be to politics. And is this a political divide? a political problem or a spiritual issue. And one of our pastors who led that prayer service yesterday is my good friend Troy Schmidt, who has been a wonderful pastor among the teaching pastors to me since I came to Florida. And I want to just thank all of you at Family Church publicly for your ministry. I love being part of this church. So good morning, Troy. You are a pastor at Family Church. You've been there since 1997. And I just want to ask you today, do you see this as just a political divide or a spiritual issue in America?
Well, definitely we see it as a spiritual issue. We have to. We're a church. When we originally heard about this, Chuck Carter, our senior pastor, immediately sent out something to everybody and said, I want us to pray during the service. So we scrapped everything we had and we said, this is what people need right now. And so we don't need more politics, because politics is doing a great job of making itself known. But the spiritual, we have got to call out. We have got to really see this as it really is. The division right now is bordering on good and evil. And so where else are you going to find the answers to that but in the church?
That's so true. And for those on the right that have kind of come into, whether it's the big tent Republicanism, whether they're just MAGA fans or they're just what I call godless populists, politics and the difference between Republican versus Democrat and just playing to win the game, that's not ultimately the direction that Christians need to go and how we need to view this through a worldview lens. And you also shepherd the Colson Fellowship at Family Church, and in that we often talk so much about worldview and the biblical worldview and the biblical worldview lens. And so how do you describe that as being different when to look at what's going on in politics through a biblical worldview lens rather than just Republican versus Democrat or this political divide?
Well, you know, when I gave that prayer, I got a text from somebody in our congregation who is a Democrat, and he said, thank you. That was great. And I thought that was the best compliment that I had gotten, that he actually saw that as being a very fair prayer for our nation, not for any party. In the Colson Fellows, and what I love about it is it's not a Republican or a Democrat organization. They're about culture and about creating a culture where things grow. And Christians, more than ever, should be a part of that culture in sort of bringing these ideas of life and love and Jesus Christ into our culture instead of sort of backing off. You know, one of the great writers that we look at and examine during that is Oz Guinness. And he sort of broke down sort of three different ways a Christian should respond. Christians have responded. And that is either being separate and private about their faith during these times, or to be like all in and public. And the other is just to sort of say, hey, it's nothing and it's irrelevant, so I shouldn't talk at all. So there's definitely a balance in all of that. And you think of someone like a William Wilberforce, who was engaged and trusted God throughout it all, but made his faith known in turbulent times.
And that's such a wonderful admonition, is that we need to stand up and make our faith known. And in the increasing political divide in the nation, a lot of the Christian response is to say, well, we are just going to retreat into our churches. And one of the things that Family Church always teaches and we always end every service with is, now go be the church. And what that means and looks like in the culture, in our workplace, in everything that we do, Monday, Sunday afternoon all the way until Sunday morning again, you know, but Monday through Friday for sure, and with our families as well. And that aspect of being the church necessitates first that we know what God says and what he calls for the Christian. And it might surprise some listeners, I think, Trey Schmidt, to say, wait, you have Democrats in your church? Well, you know, how can there possibly be Democrats? But increasingly, and I firmly believe you can't vote for the Democrat platform and be a Christian, but increasingly, can you really vote for the Republican platform and be a Christian? I mean, these are complicated questions. And the ministry of the church is to teach first and foremost what the Bible says, and then we figure out based on that how to live our Christian life in everything that we do and in the culture. And so how can the Christian respond to this world event differently than the godless populace?
Well, first of all, both of those platforms are human platforms, and so they're going to have human failure. Christ's platform is divine and eternal, and it will never fail you. We're going to be coming up in our sermon series, we're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians, which is a great place to go when there's confusion and hurt and people need comfort. And if you go to 5, he gives an admonition to the people to say, warn those who are idle, comfort the discouraged, help the weak, be patient with everyone, see that no one repays evil for evil to everyone, which is what we saw Saturday. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, test all things, and then stay away from every kind of evil. I think that's a good breakdown of how to be the church during this time, to encourage, to find strength, to be patient with people. You know, look, I have friends on all sides. I'm just patient with them. I'm thinking more about their spiritual outcome than the political outcome in November. And I think that's where the church needs to be.
Yeah, and I'm speaking with Troy Schmidt, who is one of the campus pastors at Family Church, my home church now in Florida, and I've been blessed to be a part of this church. And we're speaking about the spiritual response, not just the political response to the assassination attempt of former President Trump. And I was speaking at the beginning of the program, Pastor Troy, about how in my generation, at least, you know, the older millennial and younger, I mean, this is the first time we've been through this type of an event with either a current or former president. But for a lot of people who are listening, they're no stranger to Reagan's assassination attempt and even remembering where they were with JFK and when he was assassinated. And so people are saying, you know, well, this is the most evil that America has ever been. Look at how we have gotten to this point in America. But I would remind them that our history has shown that evil has always been a part of the human condition since the fall. And so do you think that we are in the last days in terms of this being more evil as a culture, not necessarily just related to this one specific event, but overall, how do we as the church respond to that? Are we in the last days?
Yeah, the message yesterday, one of the questions we answered that came from the congregation was, are we, you know, living in the last days? And the answer is yes. The last days began when Jesus' ministry began, and now the clock is ticking. And so there will be a last day, which there'll be no politics at all involved. It will be all spiritual. It'll be all about Jesus Christ. You're either on the right side or the left side with the sheep or the goats at that point. So that's really all that matters on that. But in the meantime, what should we be doing during those last days? And, you know, the Bible says be salt and light. The Bible says be preserving the Christian culture that we've been called to do as a church, to preserve those moral truths that are always out there. And I think back, I mean, I remember Reagan's. I was in college during that time. I was born with JFK, but I wasn't there. But those moments, I think, surprised people. I don't think Saturday really surprised people. I think we were sort of expecting it, which says something about the times that we're living in. And so when that happens, the church should be providing the hope it needs. I was also sort of interested in how Christians have responded to these kind of things in the past, like the Amish shooting, and how that church, that Amish community responded with forgiveness, mm-hmm. the Charleston shooting at the Emanuel Church, how they responded with forgiveness. And then even Allison, the father of Corey, the fire chief that was shot, and her eulogy that she sort of wrote out, she just talked. She didn't point fingers. She didn't attack. She just talked about how great her father was, and he's a godly man who protected his family. That's where our mindset, I think, as the church should be.
And that is a wonderful admonition, and so different than the culture that would like to use this to create more division. I mean, we heard the message from President Biden last night that, in my view, is more divisive than unifying. And I hope that President Trump will take the opportunity this week in Milwaukee to actually have unity, and not just as a party, but as a country that was founded on the Judeo-Christian worldview, which means that we all should be unanimously agreeing on certain principles of our community together and our body politic. And we have gotten so far from that just for political considerations and mainly for power and money. And that should not be the church's focus, and that also shouldn't be the Christian's focus, to just win at all costs, to be looking to power, to be looking at all of those things and to just condemn the left because they're the left, right? We should always be focused on what is right, what is true, what is pure, what is holy, what the Bible commands us to do, how we should live as Christians. And so just in the last about 2 or 3 minutes we have with you, Trish Schmidt, who is one of my pastors at Family Church, I would just ask you if you would to pray for us as Christians, for everyone listening throughout the nation, that we could be that salt and light for President Trump and his family specifically, and for the country, if you would.
Yeah, I'd be honored. Father, right now our hearts are to the nation and the state that we are in. There is chaos, and you are not a God of chaos. There is dissension. There are factions, and these are all works of the flesh, Lord. What we need is a revival more than ever. We need hearts right now that are so discouraged by the evil and the chaos that they want faith. They want something to stand on, a foundation of love, compassion, forgiveness. And we are not going to find it in any political party, no matter how hard that we try. We are only going to find it in the church and in the good news of the gospel. So, Lord, this is our opportunity. You have created and allowed the evil to spread, and so the church can rise up and speak loudly and boldly for Jesus Christ. So, Lord, we pray that we would find more opportunities within our daily lives, within our Sunday morning services, in our worship, whatever it is that you have involved the church, so that we can speak to all the areas of our life, government, school, wherever it may be. This is your time, Lord. May we use it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Troy Schmidt, and thank you so much to everyone at Family Church for being my church and for helping and encouraging and equipping me to be the church here at AFR, but also in our community here in Florida. And it's just so important that everyone and every Christian is part of a local church that is willing to address these topics, that is willing to teach on them and teach on them substantively, and give us the right spiritual perspective so that we can build our personal views and our political views and how we should live outflowing from that. So we will be right back here on Jenna Ellis in the Morning to talk about the political response that we as Christians should take. We'll be right back.
welcome back to Jenna Ellis in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Welcome back, and we are talking about the overall, the responses, but particularly the Christian response to the assassination attempt of former President Trump on Saturday, and how we as Christians need to have the right and truthful and correct response. And there are several different categories. We've talked about the personal and praying for President Trump personally and his family to grow in and come into a saving knowledge of the Lord and to evidence that in his life even more personally. And of course, we cannot judge whether or not he is a Christian. We can only look at the fruit in his life and what he professes and says personally, and we pray for him to make that known and to grow in his relationship. Then we talked about the spiritual, and we have to always have our politics and our policy considerations and everything that we advocate for in our community, which is our definition of politics, truth in community, that is derived from a truthful worldview built upon the scripture and the holy word of God. Because if we are divorcing our policy and our politics from our faith, and we're advocating for something that is contrary to what the Bible commands, then we are being more faithful to a political party, a politician, or a platform, or an election, or engagement in civil society, more than we are to the Lord himself. And ultimately, we are called to be faithful Christians first. And so Pastor Jack Hibbs also spoke about this in the controversy currently over the Republican Party platform. And there's been a lot of response and a lot of discussion about, well, you know, we just have to win first. And really, who cares that it's watered down on pro-life? We need to, you know, first just win and, you know, stop causing division, all of you pesky little Christians out there. But what happened on Saturday, I think, with the attempted assassination of Donald Trump and the taking of innocent life there with that firefighter, I mean, it is so tragic. I believe that it is even more important to stop the culture of death in America and promote a culture of life. And listen to what Jack Hibbs had to say yesterday. This is cut two.
But listen, here's the deal. By the way, listen, I'm not a Republican fan. I want all of you to know that. Never underestimate the Republicans' ability to a good moment, to a good opportunity. They've done it every time. Republicans are just as bad as Democrats. They just wear a different color tie. I despise. In fact, you know what? This last week, the Republican Party, which had a pretty good platform back in 2020, the Republican Party decided to start embracing woke on its upcoming platform that will be read starting tomorrow as the convention gathers this week. It is a policy that we were against. We voiced our opinion about that, removing or dampening, taking down the intensity of defending an unborn child. They've watered that down. The definition of marriage, they've watered that down. God saw that. God hears that. These are desperate times. It is obvious on all fronts. What will become of America? Only God knows. But this we know. If we will turn and seek his face, repent of our sins, and humble ourselves, God says, I will heal your land. I don't know what that means, but I know it's good. But with all due respect, we have to qualify that. That's a condition.
It is a condition. If we want God to heal our land, and if we are praying as Christians for God to do a great thing in our country, continue to bless America, then we cannot just simply turn our back on the Republican Party platform and say, well, no, we're not going to engage in pro-life. We're not going to engage in all of this stuff. You know, don't have all of these divisions. No, it is a qualifying statement. If, then. If we want God to bless America, then we have to be a nation that follows him. And so more than 100 and growing pro-life organizations and voices, including here at the American Family Association, Tim Wildman, our general counsel, Abraham Hamilton III, and also I have signed this united letter calling on the RNC to restore its pro-life to its platform. And John Shelton is the policy director for Advancing American Freedom, which is the organization that is leading this coalition. And the Family Research Council is also pushing the minority report. And hopefully the RNC this week in Milwaukee will listen. But John, thank you so much for your organization, for taking the leadership role on this. It is so important that we understand why pro-life is a critical non-negotiable in the Republican Party platform, especially at this moment.
Thank you for having me on, Jenna. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, so with this coalition, what ultimately is the goal with this letter that's now been signed by 100-plus organizations and individuals?
So our goal here is to hold the line and to preserve language that has been in the party platform since 1976, since 1980, since 1984. The party is trying to water it down. The party has little confidence in their candidate, and they think they need to squish out, as we say, on cultural issues. And I think more than ever right now, that calculus is clearly mistaken. After the incredible display of courage from both Donald Trump and also the father who's killed in the attacks, I think the party needs to show not just physical courage like it showed on Saturday, but cultural courage to defend the unborn.
Yeah, I could not agree more. I mean, this is a time for choosing. This is a time that in every critical moment in America's history, and we can go back and point out, you know, several obvious ones, but in every person's day, in their time, the question always is, will you stand for truth or will you submit to the spirit of the age? And for those who are suggesting that we, this group of pro-lifers and the coalition that Advancing American Freedom is shepherding and bringing together, that, you know, we just need to be quiet, sit down, this doesn't matter, we just need to win in November, this isn't the time, what would you say to that?
I would say that unity is good so long as it's united around truth and united around God. There's unity that's false. There's unity that is evil. There's the Tower of Babel exists. I think it's a very important story for us to think through. There was unity at the Tower of Babel. That's the wrong kind of unity. So we need to unite around what's true, what's good, what's right. And that didn't change over the weekend. The unborn are just as vulnerable, just as deserving of justice and protection as they were any other day, any other year. And to act as if that's changed because of a national tragedy, which we need to recognize that it was a national tragedy, is to downgrade for no good reason the cause of the unborn. So we need to reject that as a movement.
Yeah, and I could not agree more, because I think that when we see this type of national tragedy, it should cause us to come together in unity around truth and to emphasize what is actually the most important. And we can go back and see that before there were those three very important words, we the people, there were three even more important words, this unanimous declaration. And the declaration was unanimous in saying and recognizing that truth is self-evident, our rights come from God, our creator, that chief among them is life. And we cannot water that down at any point in time. Otherwise, we are failing to stand for truth. And so part of this that I want everyone who's listening, I really want you to understand this, that part of the political response from Saturday should not be, well, let's just forget about everything and just focus on, you know, getting Donald Trump reelected, or, you know, just focusing on coming together as Americans. Well, for what? This needs to be a call to the same type of unity that we had in America's founding, which is centered and focused on truth and recognizing that it is God, our creator, who is the divine lawgiver. And anything that we do politically, any response that we have politically, has to be in keeping with God himself and with what he has told us is right and true and for our good. And as Pastor Jack Hibbs said, John, you know, this psalm that he referenced in Psalm 33, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. When we want to say that we are a Christian nation or we have a Judeo-Christian heritage, we have to recognize God in all things. Otherwise, we are asking for his blessing while we are going out and actually contravening that in what we're doing in our politics. And that contrast could not be more stark, I think, in today's culture. And so how important is this that the Republican Party specifically, I mean, we know the Democrats aren't going to do that, but that the Republican Party specifically comes back to just where they were. I mean, I think the Republicans are the ones that caused this controversy, the RNC, because if they had just left the platform as it was, we wouldn't even have this controversy.
That's right. And I think that's what's been lost here, is that the party did this because they wanted to avoid controversy over the language that has been there since Reagan and even before he was president. The language that was strengthened actually after his own assassination attempt. And I think the lesson to take from Reagan's assassination attempt is what Reagan took himself, which is that, you know, God has put him there for a reason. And I think that God preserved Donald Trump for a reason, and to whom much is given, much will be required. And so now is not the time to say, we're not going to change anything. Now is the time to look at the platform and look at a platform that could unite the Republican Party, and that that we could be proud of, because what you campaign on is what you'll govern on. And I think that's more important now than ever.
And I'm speaking with John Shelton, who is the policy director at Advancing American Freedom, which is the organization that is leading this coalition of 100-plus voices. And if you are a principal of an organization or even an individual, if you are a pastor, Pastor Jack Hibbs just signed on yesterday. I spoke with him yesterday about this. My good friend Eric Metaxas, I mean, so many others. More than 100 pro-life organizations and voices are uniting in calling the RNC to restore its restore pro-life to its platform. There is still time. You can reach out to Advancing American Freedom, and I've posted all of that information on my X account. And so, John, if the RNC decides to change its platform back, practically, how would that take shape over the next few days in Milwaukee? What could that actually look like?
Yeah, I think the big thing that we're pushing for right now are amendments which could restore the language. And other groups have joined us and been working as well, like Family Research Council have, a number of the delegates on the platform committee have been pushing to adopt the minority report. So it wouldn't change the platform, but it would at least inscribe in it that we don't all agree with the way that this has been watered down. And it would preserve a record that a good deal of the party is not comfortable with that. Now, unfortunately, the party is scared of even recorded dissent, and so they moved that threshold up from 25% to 35%, and there's been other hijinks going on to prevent the pro-life coalition from prevailing here. But today's the day. Today really is the day, and we should push as hard as we can to ensure that this is recorded for posterity, because we've had tremendous inertia as a movement for the past 40 years. This would stop that inertia, and that will affect how the party looks, how the party governs, how the party thinks for the next 40 years as well, I think.
Yeah, and it is so incredibly important. And John Shelton, thank you so much for joining in for this whole movement. And you know, for those listening, I mean, if you don't want to be in the dissent, you know, just remember, I mean, we as Protestants were the original protesters. I mean, this is what I love that Pastor John MacArthur talks about, what he talked about when he stood up firmly and said no to the wildly unconstitutional edicts from Gavin Newsom in Los Angeles County in the midst of the COVID narrative, and just stood up and said, no, we dissent, and we are not going to follow the not only unconstitutional, but the immoral, ungodly, unbiblical edicts. And we as conservatives generally will champion that and say, yeah, way to go. You were protesting when it's against, you know, the Democrats, or it's against someone that we don't like. But when it's within our own sphere, and when it's something that either, you know, Donald Trump or a Republican governor or the Republican Party platform stands up and says, you know, that they are advancing, that is actually fundamentally in conflict with the biblical worldview, at that point, we are compelled as Christians, compelled and mandated, required, it is our duty to stand up and say, no, we disagree with that. We dissent. We urge you to change that. Because if we don't now, do you really think that an administration, a second administration of Donald Trump, is going to listen to us then? We have to make our voices heard now. And so the personal response, the spiritual response, the political response to everything that happened on Saturday, the political response, as John said so wisely, is no different today than it was. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The truth does not change. Stand firmly in truth in community. Reach me and my team, Jenna at AFR.net.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank our sponsors, including Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies' lives. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.